Sota per Gimel, Mishnah Zayin 3:7, we now return to the topic of the mincha, that meal offering, the minchas kanaos, that's brought for the sota, and what to do if, in the end, we aren't going to be able to bring this mincha because for some reason it's become unnecessary or invalid. And that being the case, what do we do with it? So we saw previously a couple Mishnahs ago that we would put it in the desh and we'd burn it, and like the ash pile being mefazer, sprinkling it over in the event that she has a mincha prepared for her but isn't going to offer it because she admits her guilt. We're now going to sort of elaborate on that a little bit and discuss that it sort of depends to some degree on what's going on and also how far along we are in the process of the preparation of the mincha. So to understand this properly, you need to have a bit of a background how the a mincha, a meal offering, is invested with kedusha, with sanctity. So there are really two stages to it. As we actually mentioned before, there is the step one, when the flour that is going to be used for her mincha is designated to be a mincha. And it was, what at what point does it stop being just flour out of the box you bought at the grocery store and start being flour that's for a mincha? So that is when you designate it with what's called kedushas peh, a verbal declaration. So a person says, you know, this is the flour that is for my mincha. At that point, you say herezu mincha, let's say, so then you've now invested it with sanctity. But that's not the whole story, because until it gets transferred and put, a mincha, any mincha actually, gets put into a klisharis, one of the consecrated vessels of the Beis Hamikdash, it's not invested with full kedusha. It's now only just designated it to be kadosh, and then once it goes into the klisharis, that service vessel, so then it becomes now fully invested. So now what does it mean partially and fully invested with kedusha? What is the technicalities there? So when it comes to consecrated items, they really can be consecrated in one of two ways. They could be invested with what I translated as extrinsic kedusha, what's called kedushas damim. That is to say, the object in question is consecrated and designated for the Beis Hamikdash, and let's say in this case, even ultimately head towards the mizbeach, the altar. But it's not intrinsic to the powder, in this case the flour. It's not that the flour is in and of itself a mincha, it's just designated to be a mincha. So it's like value has been committed. Okay, so I'm calling that extrinsic kedusha, in contrast to what's called kedushas haguf, which is like intrinsic kedusha. The thing itself is sanctified, it's consecrated. It's not just designated to be, but it actually is consecrated. So it's intrinsically done, invested with the sanctity. Now, the big difference there is that once something has kedushas haguf, it's intrinsically consecrated, sanctified, there's no way to undo that. You can't remove the sanctity from the mincha because the mincha is a mincha. It's invested with kedusha itself. In contrast, kedushas damim, that what I call this extrinsic kedusha, that's based on the designation for its use for a sanctified purpose, but actually it's transferable. It's like an extrinsic kedusha, meaning it's not actually the thing itself isn't kadosh, it's that its value has been designated to be gone towards the Beis Hamikdash. So that means that if, let's say, a mincha only has kedushas damim, extrinsic kedusha, you could be poda, you could redeem the kedusha off of the flour, putting that kedusha onto a coin, and then leaving the cow now, the powder, the flour, bereft of its kedusha. No longer there's kedusha there. It's been removed off, put onto the coin. And now that flour could be used, you know, to make pancakes. You can eat it at home now. It's totally deconsecrated. The kedusha now sits on a coin. And then the coin could be used to purchase new flour. And in so doing, the kedusha would transfer from the coin back onto the new flour. Okay? So when you say this is for a mincha, that just is kedushas damim. And when you put it into klisharis, that makes it at stage two. You have to first do kedushas peh, but after that, if you put it into klisharis, now it gets kedushas guf. When it comes to animal sacrifices, so you have a cow, goat, or sheep, and if you say harei zu ola, this is going to be an ola, the kedushas peh, just the verbal declaration, is enough to invest such an animal with kedushas haguf, intrinsic kedusha, okay? In any case, this is a mincha. It's this two steps. Okay, so that being the case, we're going to differentiate between if a scenario in which the flour to be used for the minchas kanaos has been just verbally designated by the husband to be a mincha, in which case the kedusha damim and could be removed, or if it's now also been put inside a kli sharis, in which case it gets kedusha saguf, intrinsic kedusha, and there's no way now to remove the kedusha from it. It simply just has to be disposed of in a respectful way by burning it, not on the mizbeach, but in the steshen, and then starting again, he'll have to buy new flour. Okay, so the Mishnah says inside, nitmes minchasa, if her mincha becomes invalidated through tuma, so then achlo kadsha bakli, if it hadn't yet been transferred into the kli sharis, therefore receiving its intrinsic kedusha saguf, intrinsic kedusha, so then harehi kechol hamanachos, so then it's like any other mincha that hadn't yet been invested with kedusha saguf, meaning v'tipada, it can be redeemed, money can be used. You transfer the kedusha from the flour that was going to be that was designated for mincha use onto the coin, and then that flour can do whatever you want with it. You can do whatever you want, and then you'll take the money. He'll take the money and buy new flour for a new mincha. But v'misha kidsha bakli or bakeli, if the tuma that ruined the flour happened after it already had been put inside a kli sharis, so now it's got kedusha saguf, there's no way to get it out of there. And therefore, harehi kechol hamanachos, its rule is that, like any other mincha which has kedusha saguf, v'tisaref, it has to be burned. Again, it's burned on that, in the hechel, in the zara there, it stays, where it, on that deshen, on that, like that ash pile where it's scattered. Okay. Now, the Mishnah continues on and says that it's not just tumah. There are other ways that a mincha can need to be burned and offered. It says ve'elu sheminchosein nisrafos. The following scenarios in which, if you have a mincha that's been prepared and it's been put into a kli sharis, so you can't redeem the kedusha anymore, now it has to get burned. It doesn't speak out that if it wasn't yet in a kli sharis, it could be redeemed. So we have these cases besides for tuma. Ha'omeres tameya anilach. If the woman confesses that she is guilty of adultery and forbidden to her husband. So now we're not going to have her drink the waters. We're not going to offer a mincha. The mincha, the point is to provide her with a chance for a kapara, an atonement. She's not getting that now. So therefore, we're not offering a mincha. If it's sitting around, then it's been put in a kli sharis, so now it has to be burned. V'shebo la edim shehi tameya. Similarly, if witnesses come and testify that she's guilty of adultery, so then the water's not going to work for her. We're not going to make her drink it. We're not going to, therefore, offer her mincha to give her kapara. And since we're not offering her mincha, we have to now, if it's already been put in the kli sharis, we have to burn it. V'ho'omeres eini shosa. If the woman gets cold feet and she says, I'm innocent, but I'm just not going to drink this water. So she's within her rights to do so, assuming, period. And she, if we haven't yet erased Hashem's name, we're not going to force her to drink. That being the case, if she's not drinking, she's not going to offer a mincha. If she's not offering a mincha, it can't go on the mizbeach, and therefore it has to be burned if it's already gone to a kli sharis. V'shebaala eino rotza lashkosa. Similarly, the husband, if he changes his mind, originally he said he wanted her to drink. That's why he went through this whole rigmarole. But now, before the end, he says, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want her to drink. So then she doesn't have to drink. She won't drink. If he doesn't want it, she won't drink. Even if she wants a drink to prove her innocence, he can say, no, I don't want you to drink it. And then she won't be afforded the opportunity to drink it. In such a scenario, by the way, he can divorce her, but she won't lose her ksuba. In fact, he'll have to divorce her, kind of wrong, but she won't lose her ksuba. If she had a mincha that's been prepared, we can't offer it now, of course, and therefore it'll have to be burned on the deshen, assuming that she had it been put inside a kli sharis. And similarly, if any time after the stira happened and she was secluded with the man, making her now forbidden to her husband, if her husband sleeps with her, the case that Mishnah describes is when they on their way to Jerusalem from wherever it was to carry out the sotza procedure. Since he slept with her, now the waters won't do their thing anymore. If you're not allowed to bring the mincha, and that being the case, it has to get burned if it's put in a kli sharis, because we're not going to do this whole procedure with the drinking the waters. Fine. So those are all cases in which her mincha became invalidated, and therefore it has to just get burned on the deshen. Now the last case of the Mishnah is something really totally different, and you really can get misled. So like, new paragraph, new Mishnah, new thought. There's a situation in which a woman could have a kosher mincha, she could drink the water, and still her mincha is not... it's not eaten by the kohanim, which is the normal practice. Rather, it's burned on the deshen. This case here, however, is meaning it's she drank the water, she had a kosher mincha. The kometz went on the fire, indeed, but then the rest of it is burned on the deshen, as opposed to being given to the kohanim to eat, as is the normal usage, normal fate of the rest of the leftover flour from the minchas kenos. Now, the reason for this is we're talking about a case in which a woman who is married to a kohen. See, there's a separate din all to itself, which applies to all menachos, which is that a kohen, if he is the bialim, the owner of a mincha, so then his mincha is never eaten, it's always burned. That's a pasuk. The pasuk says, v'chol minchas kohen kalil tiyeh, every mincha from a kohen should be totally burned, lo se'achel, it cannot be eaten by anybody. And that's unique to kohanim. Now, this woman here is not a kohen, but if she's married to a kohen, so then both he and she have a stake in this mincha, and therefore they're both considered bialim. He has a stake in it because he has to pay for it. The husband always pays for the wife's minchas kenos, and since he has like a financial stake in it, it's partially his. But she, of course, has a stake in it as well because she's the beneficiary of the mincha because she's the one who gets her kapara, her atonement, through its offering. So they're both bialim, and that, like owners and beneficiaries of the mincha. And that being the case, since the kohen has a stake in it, they can't eat the mincha. But since she has a stake in it, it can't be totally burned on the mizbeach. And therefore, what do you do? Besides for offering just one kometz on the mizbeach, the rest gets burned on the deshen, which is like sort of because we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. We can't, since he's the kohen and he has a part of stake in it, we can't. No one can eat it. Because she has taken it, we can't burn it all, just one kometz amount. So therefore, the rest goes on the deshen. So this has nothing to do with her not drinking the waters or her mincha being invalid. It's simply a separate case altogether of an issue of that the leftover shirayim, the leftover flour from the mincha after the kometz has been offered the mizbeach, that leftover stuff now has to just get burned. That's what the Mishnah says inside here. It says, v'chol hanesuos, the kohanim, any woman who's a suspected sota, who's married to a kohen, minchose nisrafos, her mincha is not offered on the mizbeach. It's nisraf. It's burned on the deshen on the side, in the base of deshen. Now, the truth is that the Mishnah here is not just talking only about the minchas kenaos, the sota's mincha. This would be true really for essentially any mincha that a woman brings if she's married to a kohen, because since her husband's always going to be paying for it, and anything that she has a stake in, he has a stake in, so therefore the same problem will apply. He has a partial stake in the mincha, and that being the case, it's a kohen's mincha, which can't be eaten, but since she has a stake in it as well, it can't be burned on the mizbeach, and therefore it has to be burned on this base hadeshen.